Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcast, and I've been mentioning The Amazing World of Radio at amazing.greatdetectives.net, and I do want to encourage you to check that out. Normally after Easter, the show would be on hiatus, but because of COVID-19 leading to a postponement of the Major League Baseball season, we're doing some old-time radio baseball, drama, comedy, even some science fiction played out over the next 6 weeks. And you can check that out, amazing.greatdetectives.net. And we'll also be doing a tribute to Julie Bennett, the voice of Cindy Bear, but also with a significant career. We'll be featuring an episode featuring her. So lots of good stuff still coming. Check that out, amazing.greatdetectives.net. Also check out The War at thewar.greatdetectives.net. And the video version of this podcast at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. The original air date, November the 11th of 1957, and the title is The Lost Film.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, if your husband was a famous private detective, wouldn't you expect him to take a case where you were the client? Yes, it's Gail Collins here. I'll be back in a moment to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. You know, you've hit on something I've always wanted to know, Mrs. Collins. Does the wife of a private detective ever have need of her husband's professional services?
Jack, the kind of crazy things that happen to Greg and me, I always seem to need him. For instance, you take New York. There's a city with something like 10 million people. Greg and I had gone there for a holiday to see the shows and such. Just two people in 10 million. Well, a day or two before we were due to go home, I went downtown to do a little shopping. I was getting on down towards Fifth Avenue, and I guess I must have been daydreaming, because the next thing I knew, I'd started to cross the street, and there was a great big policeman bawling me out at the top of his voice.
Hey, lady! Hey, lady!
Who? Me?
I know you probably can't read or anything, so that's why we put those pretty colored lights up there for you.
Lights? Oh, lights.
What do you think that red is? A new shade of lipstick? Now get back on the curb before you get killed.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't notice the lights.
The traffic, thank you. The bottom of a tar. Okay, you guys, get moving.
Well, you can imagine how I felt in front of all those people. I stood there and burned. And I guess that's why I can't tell you exactly what happened next. All I know is a heavy truck started to roar across the intersection. I turned my head away from the fumes. There was a movement in the crowd beside me, and suddenly...
Look out, you fool! You'll be under that truck!
It happened in a second. 1 minute, it was a street scene. The next, it was a tragedy. A man dead. Well, I gave my name as a witness, and then went home to Greg.
What a rotten way to end your holiday, honey.
He grabbed my coat as he fell. Greg, maybe if I'd been a little faster, I could have saved him.
You didn't even see the guy until it was too late.
I don't suppose so. Anyway, a man on the other side of him tried to help, but he missed too.
You say this guy, the one who went under the truck, grabbed at you?
Uh-huh. I felt him tug at my coat.
You're lucky he didn't pull you under with him.
I hadn't thought of that.
Well, now, let's all forget about it. We'll take ourselves downtown to the best restaurant we can find. We'll enjoy ourselves, and when we get back, it'll be over, huh?
All right.
That's a good. How fast can you change?
Quarter of an hour.
I'll tell you. By the way, I'm sending you a couple of suits for dry cleaning. You got anything to go?
Oh, that coat on the chair, I guess. And this costume I'm wearing, too.
I'll call for a bellhop now. They'll be ready in the morning. Now hurry, I'm starving to death. Got any ideas where you want to go, girl?
Oh, not a one. I'd be just as happy walking down Broadway until we saw something we liked.
Okay, please yourself. Only if I pass out, send for some burned dog with some pliers. I'm hungry.
You won't go far.
I beg your pardon. I do beg your pardon. I'm afraid I wasn't looking.
Oh, it's quite all right. It was my fault, too.
But I walked right into you, and I'm no lightweight. I don't know what I could have been dreaming about so very careless.
Odd man.
I thought he was going to give you the purple heart. Come to look at him, he is a hefty guy.
Greg, I know him.
Yeah?
He was the one, Greg. The one I told you tried to pull the man back.
The guy who fell under the trip?
Yes. And that fat man tried to grab hold of him.
Well, that proves what I always said. New York's one of the smallest cities in the world. This is your Broadway and it's my Broadway, but I wouldn't care if you gave it back to the Indians.
It certainly is crowded tonight. Oh, it's exciting, though. Below theater advertisement.
Take a look at that one up there. Marilyn Monroe with a 30-foot waist, et cetera.
Greg Collins, you just keep your eye... Oh!
I beg your pardon, miss. I'm sorry, very sorry.
What are you saying, honey?
Greg, it was him.
Who? What's the matter?
The man who was at the accident. The man at the hotel. He just bumped into me again.
Honey, I keep telling you, even if there are 10 million people here, it's not unusual to meet the same guy twice.
It's been 3 times, and I don't like it.
Well, 3 times, then. So what?
I guess I'm unreasonable. I've had a bad day.
Ah, look, there's a sign I know across the street.
Steak Club. I know it, too.
You get a steak there so big, they just take the horns off and serve it to you.
It's just what I need. Let's cross over.
Wait for the traffic, Mrs. Collins.
Sorry I've been such a bore, Greg. Just my day.
I like your day. On holidays, she goes to pieces. When we're working...
Greg!
Hey, what are you trying to do? Kill yourself?
Greg! Greg, I almost went under that car.
That's all right, honey. It's okay.
You want to be careful, young lady. Those cars are lethal.
Okay, but just leave it alone, she... Say, what goes on here?
It's the same man again. It was the same man, all right. Fat and pink and smiling. But I could tell from the way Greg went tense. He was getting set to wipe that smile off. So keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a moment with more of our story. Four times I'd met this man, all in the space of a few hours. I was sure it was no coincidence. And I knew Greg didn't think so either.
You should take better care of the little lady, my friend. She almost fell in front of that car.
Well, there's one way to say it. Push might be another.
Now, that's hardly fair. It was me saved her. If I hadn't grabbed you, madam, well, imagine for yourself.
Suppose you come down out of the clouds and tell us where the game is.
Game? I don't catch
you. We've run into you 3 times inside 45 minutes. The average is too high for coincidence.
Okay, so I call a cop and we can talk to him about it. You see, it all looks pretty hopeless, doesn't it, son?
And then he just drifted away in the crowd, and there was nothing Greg could do to stop him. Well, there was no point in going hungry because of Mr. X. Greg said he wouldn't talk about him until after we'd eaten. And we were both down to the last cubic inch of steak before he started.
Is that right, girl? The first time you saw him was today at the accident?
That's right. I told you all about it.
Tell me again.
A man was killed by a truck, and Mr. X was there. In fact, a man was standing between us.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. Poor guy who fell grabbed at my coat as he went. I swung around, and there was Mr. X. I could tell from the way he was standing he'd try to save the man. Or maybe he'd pushed.
What did Mr. X do after the accident?
He ran out to where the man was lying on the street.
Was he the first one there?
I think he was. Well, yes, he was. He seemed to think so quickly compared to the rest of... Greg.
What?
Here. Oh, no, don't turn around. Just walk into the restaurant.
Oh, honey, look, forget him for a moment. Pretend he's not here.
How can I?
I want to know what Mr. X did right after the accident, when he ran out into the street.
He ran his hands over the man's body. He felt his pulse, and then he put his hand inside his coat and felt his heart.
Now, answer me this. Could he have been searching the man's clothing?
He could have, but... Well, yes, he could have.
Okay, fine. Now, let's get out of here.
Where are we going?
You're going back to the hotel. I'm going to handle Mr. X my own way. And there's a car waiting right at the door.
Hi, Detective.
Greg, I don't want to go. I want to come with you.
Now, be a good girl and let's not fight.
Pull this cap up.
I want you to take this lady to the Ambassador Hotel.
But where are you going?
I'm going to wander around New York.
Oh, Greg Collins.
Mr. X can't follow both of us, right?
I guess not.
So I'm going to give him the chance to follow me. And when I've given him enough rope to hang himself, I'm going to pull the nut. Now, will you get in the cab, honey? He's coming.
Oh, Greg, phone me soon. And don't take any risks.
Risks? Me? If anyone says I take risks, it's a free, Mrs. Connor.
So Greg started to walk Broadway. That great white way they write songs about. And always, a couple of steps behind him was Mr. X. He'd given up any pretense of disguising the fact that he was following Greg. The question was, what was he after? Greg figured he'd find out in Mr. X's own good time. So he walked up and down for hours, waiting for Mr. X to tell him what was on his mind. Then, about 11 o'clock, he decided to call me as he'd promised.
Ambassador Hotel here. Good evening.
Now, it's Greg Collins here. Would you put me through to Mrs. Collins, please? Room 1612.
One moment, please.
Mr. X. Who does that guy think he is following me around? My conscience?
Hello? Who's this speaking, please?
I want room 1612. This is Collins here.
This is room 1612. Who do you want to speak to, Mr. Collins?
I want to talk to my wife. Who else?
Your wife? Well, there must be some mistake, Mr. Collins. Your wife isn't here. She hasn't been here all evening.
That was when Greg went haywire. He slammed the receiver down and dived out of the telephone booth, ready to shake Mr. X until his teeth rattled. Only there was no Mr. X. He'd gone. With no Mr. X to shake, Greg was really in a spot. He put me in a cab and sent me back to the hotel. And I hadn't arrived. So, what to do? His first idea was to call the police. His second idea was to hold off, wait until Mr. X played a card. So, he went back to our hotel room to wait. But he didn't have to, because when he opened the door and stepped on the light, there was Mr. X.
So, you finally got here, Collins. I wondered when you would.
You're the guy I've been looking for. Where's my wife?
Keep your temper, Collins. If you feel like getting rough, remember I'm armed. See?
Now listen, fat face.
And let's not waste time being pleasant. I'll set your mind at rest right now, Collins. Your wife's safe.
Where is she?
Uh-uh. That kind of information I sell.
Sell? The only information I can afford to buy is written on a bus ticket. The bit that says not transferable.
I don't want money. I want to know who you're working for.
I don't work for anyone. I'm self-employed.
It'll pay you not to try to evade my questions.
Now, who are you? What's the idea of following me and my wife around all night?
I felt it necessary to impress on you that your actions were not unobserved. That you're not dealing with fools. Also, since I can now tell you that cab you hired was driven by one of my men, you'll understand that we're very well organized. So now, let us proceed to business.
Okay, pal.
Whatever price you've been offered, I'm prepared to pay double.
Price for what? Yeah, who cares anyhow? Anything I've got you can have for double.
Let's be frank. I offer you double the price.
But Buster, this is crazy. Just send my wife back. That's enough.
Of course, that's understood. We had to get hold of her to make sure she'd pass my property on to you.
And she said she had.
You don't deny it?
Anything my wife says I've got, I've got.
In that case, give it to me now.
No. You're rushing the deal, buddy duddy. There's a little matter of my wife. She has to be returned in good order and condition, like she was when you collected it.
I'm prepared to have her here in 2 hours, if you will undertake to return my property.
And what are you wasting time for? Get her here.
Very well. But remember, please, there is often a slip betwixt the cup and the lip. Don't try to double-cross me. Oh, by the way, Have you examined my property?
No. No. What business is it of mine?
Excellent. Well, let me warn you not to do so. It would not be in the interests of Mrs. Collins. You see, I have her interests at heart, Collins. I hope you have, too. I'll be back in 2 hours, Mr. Collins. I hope you're waiting for me.
Now, look, the fact is I don't have any idea what you... Oh, for Pete's sake, what goes on? I haven't got that guy's property. Gale must have told him that to gain time. Maybe something was sent here to us.
A desk here, Mr. Collins.
Could you tell me, please, has a parcel or maybe a letter or anything like that arrived here for either me or Mrs. Collins?
No, sir. Nothing's come here for you.
I see. Okay, thanks. That's fine. Now what? He's back. Well, that settles it. I never knew a situation yet a thump in the ear didn't help. Now, see here, fat boy.
Mr. Collins?
Yeah. Collins?
You ever seen this car before, Mr. Collins?
I see. FBI.
That's right. Mind if I close the door?
Oh, boy, am I glad to see you guys.
Glad, Mr. Collins?
Yes, about my wife. She's missing.
Missing? How missing, Mr. Collins?
What do you mean, how? I'm not talking about her engine. I'm talking about her whole chassis. It's missing. Isn't that plain?
You reported this to the local police?
No. I haven't, not yet.
Explain to me if I'm wrong, but I find it rather interesting. I mean, the fact that your wife's missing just when I want to talk to her.
What's wrong?
I want to talk to her about a guy named Regan.
She doesn't know any Regan.
Funny. He left your room about 3 minutes ago.
His name was Regan?
And you didn't know it, huh? Now, that is strange. He had a pass key to your room.
Yeah, I know that, but he stole it.
You reported that to the police?
No. No, I haven't. Well, how can I report to the police when it...
Go on.
Nothing. What did you want to see Gail about?
She was witness to an accident today. She gave her name to the police.
That's right, yeah.
Well, he wanted to question her about the guy who was killed. Now, I've seen for myself how pally you and this Regan guy are. I'm interested.
Why? Is there some law against Regan?
The man who was killed today, pal, was an FBI man. He was carrying evidence, important evidence. But it wasn't on him after he was killed.
I see.
The evidence was interesting to a certain guy named Regan, your pal.
You've got something on Regan?
Not without that evidence, Collins.
Are you sure your man had it?
I didn't come here to answer questions. What time do you expect Mrs. Collins back?
I don't expect her back until the morning.
How's that? Visiting her poor old mother?
I just don't expect her back, that's all.
Okay. I'll call on her tomorrow.
Hey, before you go...
Eh?
Were you the guy who answered the phone when I called earlier tonight?
That's right. Why?
I'm taking a survey. I want to know how many people are using my hotel room when I'm away.
Tomorrow, pal, or maybe even tonight. Just to check.
Tomorrow? Regan's coming here in 2 hours. He expects me to hand over that evidence. Tomorrow we could be dead and I can't say a word to the police.
So now Greg knew what Regan wanted from him. The evidence he was searching the FBI man for soon after he'd been run over by that truck. The evidence he believed I'd passed on to Greg. The evidence Greg had never laid eyes on. Oh, it was a Jim Dandy setup. And in a moment, we'll bring you the climax of the case. In 2 hours, Regan was coming back for the evidence he thought Greg had. The evidence I'd told him Greg had. Greg, of course, couldn't tell the police anything because Regan was holding me. And even though Greg was pretty sure I was only stalling for time, he started to search our room just in case. An hour and a half later, it looked like a high wind had passed through, but no evidence, which was when he started to pace the floor.
Regan must be sure she has that evidence. That's crazy. She... Just forget about whether it's crazy or not. Why does Regan think so? Dan never laid eyes on him before, so why does he think she's got the evidence? It doesn't make sense. Let's start again. There's the FBI man. He's walking along the street behind Gale. She stops. He stops. Regan stops. And then... And then... That's it. That's the only way it could have happened.
Now, Greg had a bee in his bonnet. And 2 minutes later, he was down at the reception desk of the hotel, trying to get some sense out of the sleepy desk clerk.
My name's Collins. I'm in room 1612.
Oh, yes, Mr. Collins. I know you.
Earlier this evening, sometime before dinner, I sent a pint of clothes down to be dry cleaned.
Yes, sir.
I want them back. I want them back now.
Oh, I'm sure they haven't been done yet, sir. The dry cleaning staff went home.
I don't care when the dry cleaning staff went home. I want my clothes.
Oh, are you checking out or something?
I'm not checking out or anything. I want my clothes now.
But the dry cleaning room is all locked up.
Then open it.
Oh, well, sir, I don't know that we can exactly do that. After all, if all our guests came down in the middle of the night wanting to get into the dry cleaning room, where would we be?
Well, you'd probably lock them in and rent their rooms to someone else.
I can see that you're a man with a sense... What are you doing with that ruler?
I'm going to measure your head with
it. Oh, don't. Put it down. That's ebony.
Do I get that room open? Or do you get this on the head, bud? I'm in a hurry.
The dry cleaning room, sir. Just come this way, sir. We'll have it opened immediately. I really shouldn't be away from my desk. What if someone comes in?
I suppose they steal the hotel. Who cares? It'll be no use to them unless they got it across the border.
This is the room, and please hurry. Now, the clothes to be cleaned are all thrown on a table in the middle of the room. I'll turn the light on for you.
There they are. That pile on top. They're what I'm looking for.
Well, if you'll just kindly bundle them up and get out of here.
Don't worry, I'm not taking them with me. Just want something from one of the pockets.
If it's something valuable, sir, it would have been returned to you in the morning.
In the morning? Buster, that would have been too late. By morning, you'd have had two corpses on your hands.
Corpses?
As in delicti. Okay. I've got what I came for. Let's get out of here.
Another 2 minutes and Greg was in his room again. His watch said he had 10 minutes to wait. But Regan was already there with a so-called cab driver and me.
So you're back, Mr. Collins. For one moment, I thought you'd run out on us.
Oh, Greg. Greg, I've been so frightened.
Just stay on this side of the room, Mrs. Collins.
Oh, no.
You keep away from her, you great mutt.
Just as soon as our business is completed, I'll be happy to get out of your lives forever. Until then, Mrs. Collins stays where she is.
So you're still toting that gun, huh?
A small precaution.
Greg, explain to him we haven't the faintest idea.
Hold it, Gail.
Mr., whatever your name is, we just don't know what it is I'm supposed to have stolen.
What's that?
Mr. Regan, don't listen to her. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
You know my name.
Sure, I know your name. And I think I've got what you want.
Oh, hand it over.
Take it. One spool of film.
Film? Where did that come from?
From you, honey, from you.
Huh?
You're a good actress, Mrs. Collins. Luckily, your husband realizes I'm not a man to be trifled with. Well, thank you for this film, Collins. It means a lot to me. You may now take delivery of your wife.
Greg, where are you?
Save it, honey.
We're on our way, Collins. Trust we don't meet again. Oh, by the way, do you know what's on this spool of film? I'll tell you. Evidence that'd send me up the river for a long, long time. They give you a lot of years for tax fraud in this country.
So where does the spool of film come in?
It's a microfilm of the records of my nightclub business. The records the tax department doesn't see.
In that case, maybe I better take it, Regan.
What the...
Greg, it's the police!
Watch him, he's got a gun!
That's all there was in it. One shot and one scream. Mr. Regan's shooting hand gave him trouble for a couple of months where the bullet hit him. Otherwise, no one was hurt. The FBI men took possession of Regan, the spool of film, and the phony cab driver. And after the shouting and the fuss and the desk clerk had quietened down, there was Greg, grinning like an alligator.
So what do you say about your husband now, huh? Is he bright enough?
Greg Collins, I'm so mad I could spit chips. You had what Regan was looking for all the time.
Hmm?
You must have. That spool of film, you must have had it.
Darling, you had it. I never laid eyes on it until about 2 minutes before I saw you in here with Regan.
Oh, don't talk nonsense. I'd never seen that film until...
I knew you hadn't seen it, but you had it. Look, remember what you said about the FBI man, the one who went under the truck?
What did I say about him?
You said he grabbed at your coat as he fell.
Well, he did.
He didn't grab at it. He had his hand in your pocket.
What?
He knew Regan was tailing him. He had to get rid of that film somehow. The way I figure it, he was working undercover. The time wasn't right to reveal his identity, so he got rid of the film. Honey, I must have been right. The spool of film was in the pocket of that coat you sent for dry cleaning.
But how... I mean, how did you figure that out?
Simple enough. I asked myself why Regan should pick on you as the one who had the film. He must have had some reason. The reason was you were standing next to the FBI man. He wouldn't just throw the film away. He must have passed it on. That made you the only logical contender.
I just don't know what to say. If you hadn't worked things out the way you did. Oh, Greg.
Oh, come here. Now, what do you think this thing is on my shoulder?
Oh, it's a face again.
It's a head. And inside that head, well, it ain't sawdust, you know. It's a brain, Mrs. Collins.
Don't go away. In just a moment, we'll be back with you.
Adventure, the last film. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder. For whether it's crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
Welcome back. I don't think this is a case where Greg had to battle the underworld's brightest, particularly the method of following Human Gale was just very much, it lacked any sort of subtlety. And yeah, it's New York City, and the odds of seeing the same guy that many times, just really coincidentally, yeah, that wasn't going to fool anyone. But at any rate, we do turn to listener comments and feedback now. Jeremiah writes in, "Hey Adam, you and your family doing okay up there? Listening to a detective podcast has become an essential part of my evening ritual. On the Mr. Collins critique, originally it just seemed silly, but now that I've heard several episodes, the producer has succeeded in maintaining a certain rhythm to the dialogue and soundtrack that I find both comforting and enjoyable. Beyond that, my favorites are Nero Wolfe and Dragnet. Keep up the good work." A follow-up question. The clip where Vincent Price is talking about crimes against society and prejudice, what is the story with those? Well, first of all, thank you so much for your kind comments, and we're doing well. Regarding the Vincent Price comments, and I assume you're talking about the commentary that or messages at the end of The Saint. After World War II, there was a really strong focus on the need for national unity, for brotherhood, and for doing away with a lot of the racial and ethnic prejudices that dominated the country. You know, I think some people today, you know, will observe the irony that people were, you know, fighting Hitler and, you know, attacking him for what he was doing, while in the United States, you had all sorts of segregation and Jim Crow stuff going on. But this sort of thing was, it was not lost on a lot of people who went off to war and who saw what Hitler had done. And it led to a desire to really heal these sort of divisions, to remove these sort of prejudices, whether they were on the basis of race and religion. And so this was something that, it's not something everyone did, but it was certainly an attitude that had a lot of currency in that post-war era. It was something to have that sort of PSA, because sometimes it would deal with race and religion, the importance of avoiding prejudice, and other times it would deal with other issues of public safety. And I don't think a lot of radio shows went into that sort of deal, and certainly I don't know anywhere the star would come out and make that appeal every week. On some radio programs, you might hear the star step out of character to encourage you to give to your community chest, or what we would call now a United Way campaign. But The Saint with Vincent Price was the only series I know of where every week the star came out with a message. And it wouldn't necessarily always be the same thing. Sometimes it would be about racial prejudice and division. And other times it'd be about the importance of attending religious services. So it was something unique to The Saint, and it probably did go back into things that Vincent Price believed were important, because I don't believe this continued when Tom Conway took on the role. Thanks so much for the question, Jeremiah. Now I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Bob. Bob's been one of our Patreon supporters since August 2006, currently supporting the show at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more. Thank you so much for your support. All right, well, that will actually do it for now. If you do have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.